Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Ritam Sucha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 4, Chapter 21, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, Text 22. Aham Danda Dharo Raja Prajanami Hayojita Rakshita Vrittida Sveshu Sedushu Stapita.
To rule the citizens, protect them from all danger,
and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunctions. Purport. A king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to look after the interests of his particular planet. So Prabhupada's taking this from the commentary of the Acharyas, and therefore into the verse he's put by the grace of the Supreme Lord, because that's not in the Sanskrit of the verse. But we often find that Srila Prabhupada puts into the verse aspects of the previous Acharya's commentary. So I'm going to read that sentence again. A king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to look after the interests of his particular planet. On every planet, there's a predominating person, just as we now see that in every country, there is a president. If one is president or king, it should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. So it's an opportunity. Prabhupada's using the word here, opportunity. Actually, each of us, in our respective positions also, we have an opportunity that's given to us by the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada's saying here, it should be understood. One has to make some effort to understand what opportunity the Supreme Lord is giving me. Going on. According to the Vedic system, the king is considered a representative of Godhead and is offered respects by the citizen as God in the human form of life. Actually, according to Vedic information, the Supreme Lord maintains all living entities, and especially human beings, to elevate them to the highest perfection. So the king is saying, I'm the one who's maintaining and protecting and engaging. And Prabhupada's making the point here, who is actually maintaining? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the king is the representative. The king has been given the opportunity, Prabhupada's saying, the opportunity to represent Krishna. After many, many births in lower species, when a living entity evolves to the human form of life, and in particular to the civilized human form of life, his society must be divided into four gradations, as ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanyam Mayashristam, etc. The four social orders, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, are natural divisions of human society. And as declared by Prithu Maharaj, every man in his respective social order must have proper employment for his livelihood. So not like today when so many people are unemployed or wrongfully employed. Prabhupada goes on to say here, it is the duty of the king or the government. Whose duty is it? The king or the government. To ensure that the people observe the social order and that they're also employed in their respective occupational duties. So we talk a lot about establishing this social order among our Vaishnavas and among society in general. To do that, we have to have a good what? King, a good government. This is the duty of the government to establish. It's not the duty of the Shudras or the Vaishyas or even the Brahmanas to establish this social order. Prabhupada says it's the duty of the government. In modern times, since the protection of the government or the king has been withdrawn, so now the government is no longer giving proper protection to the citizens, social order has practically collapsed. No one knows who is a Brahmana, who is Kshatriya, who is Vaishya, who is Sudra, and people claim to belong to a particular social order by birthright only. It is the duty of the government, again, whose duty is it? Government. It is the duty of the government to reestablish social order in terms of occupational duties and the modes of material nature. For that will make the entire world population actually civilized. If it does not observe the institutional functions of the four social orders, human society is no better than animal society, in which there is never tranquility, peace, and prosperity, but only chaos and confusion. Maharaj Prithu, as an ideal king, strictly observed the maintenance of the Vedic social order. Prajayate iti praja. The word praja refers to one who has taken birth. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj guaranteed protection for prajana, all living entities who took birth in his kingdom. And where was his kingdom? It was the whole planet. Praja refers not only to human beings, but also to animals, trees, and every other living entity. It is the duty of the king to give all living entities protection and food. So according to Varnashram, each of the Varnas has their areas of protection. So what do the Brahmanas protect? Knowledge, truth. The Brahmanas make sure that truth is not perverted. Knowledge is not perverted. Nowadays, the so-called Brahmanas, they're in the employ of the government or of the business persons, and they distort truth for monetary gain and prestige. And what are the Kshatriyas supposed to protect?
People.
The people, particularly the people. Directly, they're protecting the people. And what do the Vaishyas protect? The animals, cows, all the animals. Even Krishna had buffaloes and goats. You know that? It says in Krishna book. So the Vaishyas protect all the animals, and also they protect? They generate honest wealth. So the Vaishyas protect that wealth will be generated honestly, not like in modern society where there's dishonest wealth, false wealth. You have wealth just on your computer screen, and if there's some little political upheaval, then your wealth is gone. That's dishonest wealth. So the Vaishyas protect real wealth. And where does real wealth come from? The land? Cows? Natural resources. So the Vaishyas are to protect the land, the rivers, the air, the animals. And what do the Shudras protect? They serve, but they also protect something. The arts and the skills. They are to make sure that the music, the painting, the drama, the dancing, the weaving, the pottery, the furniture making, that it is all done according to Vedic systems. And all of these four groups, they have their area of protection. And we can think of it like interweaving circles. So the Brahmanas are the big circles. By protecting knowledge, they protect everything else. Then inside there is the Kshatriyas. Under the guidance of the Brahmanas, they protect the people. The Vaishyas, under the rule of the Kshatriyas, are protecting the animals and all of the natural resources. And the Shudras under them are protecting the arts and the skills and the crafts. And everyone is doing this as a servant of Krishna. They are protecting their realm on behalf of Krishna, because really Krishna is the only maintainer. So now we're going to go on here, Prabhupada, talking specifically about the animals. The fools and rascals of modern society have no knowledge of the extent of the responsibility of the government. Animals are also citizens of the land in which they happen to be born, and they also have the right to continue their existence at the cost of the Supreme Lord. The disturbance of the animal population by wholesale slaughter produces a catastrophic future reaction for the butcher, his land, and his government. Prabhupada was so much speaking out against this cruelty to animals. So in the West, we pretend to be very kind to animals, and secretly we are killing them. And here in India, very openly, people are cruel to animals. So either way, openly or privately, one should treat everyone with compassion. I was once at a college program, and some students were giving a presentation, and one of the students says, "Oh, there's a spider." And then the student stepped on the spider and killed it and said, "Not anymore." And I was thinking, among the Vaishnavas, you never see this behavior. You know, Prabhupada told his servant one time, early in the morning, he said, "There's a little bug here on my desk. He doesn't have any food to eat on my desk. Can you please take him outside so he can get his food?" So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. Aham dana daro raja prajanam ihayo jitaha rakshita vrittida sveshtu sekushu sta pita pritak. King Prithu continued, By the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet, and I carry the scepter to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger, and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunction. So Prithu Maharaj has his identity and his connection. I am connected with Krishna, and my identity is as a servant of Krishna. So we are all looking for this. Who am I? People like to take tests. What is my personality type? What should I be doing? I want to find myself. Where is my proper place? Where am I going to be best situated? The youth, they are taking so many exams, going to college. What career should I have? Who should I marry? Where should I live? All these questions are, how can I find who I am? And this is all in connection with society, with family. The ultimate identity and connection is, I am a servant and I am connected with Krishna. And when one has that identity and that connection, then one may even rule the world and one is not disturbed. In our little lives, we are ruling some little thing. First lecture I attended by Srila Prabhupada, he was explaining how each of us are an Ishwara, but above and above the Supreme Ishwara. So maybe we are only an Ishwara of a little shelf in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Maybe we are an Ishwara of a whole room. Maybe we are an Ishwara of a big building or a big family or a big project. And we think, oh, so much trouble and responsibility. But one can do all of that blissfully. Whatever responsibilities we are carrying, danda daro, he's carrying daro, like giridhari, holding up. We can do that as a servant, in love. Right? Prabhupada saying, this should be understood. One should understand that whatever responsibilities I have, everybody has some responsibilities, right? Whatever qualities I have, Prabhupada says, everyone is given some extraordinary talent. And to serve Krishna with that extraordinary talent means successful life. So one should understand that whatever talents I have, we all have some talents, correct? Prabhupada says, everyone has extraordinary talent. Whatever wealth I have, whatever energy, whatever beauty, knowledge, whatever influential people I know, whatever responsibilities I am carrying, Baladev Vijayabhushana says that Maharaj Prithu is carrying all these responsibilities on his head. That these are an opportunity to connect with Krishna. The impersonalists think that all of these things are simply a burden. They are thinking like that. But we want to be above duality. Duality means, oh, everything, jagan mitya, this is all false. Let me just sit at Radhakund and chant. But we see that the Vaishnavas, they see all these things, as Prabhupada says here, an opportunity given by the Supreme Lord to act in my identity as a servant. Now this identity is the clue to all of our happiness in life and all of our decisions in life. We would like to make decisions that would bring us happiness, isn't it? Every day we have so many decisions to make and we don't even know what's a small decision, what's a big decision. We might think, where do I live? Do I get married or not? Who do I marry? Who do I accept as my guru? What service do I do? We might think those are the big decisions. But maybe whether you get on the rickshaw now or 5 minutes later, maybe that changes your whole life. Correct? Maybe 5 minutes later you get on, you'll get in an accident. Whole life has changed. My sister-in-law, she was at a friend's house. She got up to use the washroom at night, went down the wrong stairs, fell down the stairs, hit her head on the concrete, and lost much of her mind and her arm. And my brother-in-law was saying, 1 second, whole life's changed. So we don't know what's the big decisions, what's the little decisions, and we don't know what decisions are going to bring us happiness. We cannot understand the results of our activities. So if we want to have clear vision, Prabhupada said, Krishna can become your direct advisor, or Krishna can remain unknown, or anywhere in between. If we want to have clear vision, it starts with identity. Here we see Prithu Maharaj is starting with identity. Who am I? By the grace of the Supreme Lord, in service to the Supreme Lord, to look after the interests of the Supreme Lord. My dear friends, you can consider that when we make decisions, it is always with some idealized form of our identity. A person is thinking, okay, I'm an Indian businessman. What does an Indian businessman do to be happy? Has some idea. This is what an Indian businessman do, or this is what a chaste wife does, or this is what, whatever, some upadhi. I am a this, I am a that. And we make our decisions based on what is the ideal of this or that. But that is not our real identity. That is not our real identity. Even in this life, dehino smnyata dehe komaram yovanam dura, we have changed this external upadhi and identity. Now I'm a student, now I'm a husband, now I'm retired, now I'm this. Our real identity is eternal. Ajo nitya shasvatam yam purana. My eternal identity, jivera swarupaya krishnera nitya dasha. So let's look at the difference. If I'm thinking, I am the king of the land, or I'm the king of my home, or I'm an artist, or I'm a business person, or I'm a husband, or a wife, or a mother, or a father, or a son, or whatever one is thinking, that means we're thinking that the source of our happiness is in doing things for my pleasure. Then I'm thinking, oh, I want to be a very good Indian son, so I will serve my parents, and if my parents are happy, then I will be happy. I'm going to be a very chaste wife. If my husband's happy, then I will be happy. We are therefore thinking husband, parents, government, business, family, society, love, that they are going to meet my needs. I have been thinking, oh, my husband, he's my maintainer. My parents, they are maintainer. My employer, they are maintainer. They are my maintainer and my protector. They are going to fulfill my financial needs, my emotional needs, my needs for love, my need for security, my needs for relationship, my need for meaning in life. I will get all this by serving my material masters in terms of my material identity. What is the result of that? Do we become satisfied in this way? Does it work? First of all, can you guarantee that your employer, your government, your father, your teacher, your husband, your mother, your child, that you will always be able to satisfy them? Can you guarantee? Is that possible? Yes or no? No. If you give your wife a little flour, a little water, maybe she'll be happy, maybe not. She'll say, all you brought me is water and flour. And one day she'll be happy with the flour, next day not happy. So if the man is thinking, my wife's happiness is going to be the source of my happiness, then he's miserable. And then vision is clouded. I don't know what to do, what not to do. I am going after so many mirages to satisfy my thirst for real life. I don't have clarity. And I don't even know how to act, especially in modern society. As Prabhupada's saying here, it's all confused. How to be a good employer, how to be a good child, how to have a good career. We don't even know anymore. Everyone is just guessing. Thousands and thousands of books being written. How to be a good husband, how to be a good child, how to be a good boss. And simply speculating. I mean, some things they say are nice. We're not saying they're all wrong. But they cannot have the full truth. Because their identity is wrong. They're thinking, I'm part of this world, and my duty is to serve this world. Ultimately, they're thinking, I am the center. My wife is here to please me. My husband is here to please me. The head of the Brahmachari ashram is here to please me. The temple president is here to please me. And then most of the time, I'm simply frustrated. On the other hand, if I think I'm a soul, I'm a servant of Krishna, then I can have clear discrimination. Why? Because my identity is in harmony with the truth. And then I can know how to do the duties Krishna has assigned to me. I can go to the Shastra, how to be a good government administrator, how to be a good priest, how to be a good teacher, how to be a good farmer, how to be a good business person, how to be a good artist, a good husband, a good wife, a good son. Was just hearing this morning Krishna speaking, Prabhupada was reading Krishna speaking to Vasudeva and Devaki about how to be a good child, how to take proper care of the parents. So when I know I'm Krishna's servant and I'm doing my responsibilities to please Krishna, then I ask Krishna how to do them. I don't have to guess. If I think I'm something material, then I'm guessing. Maybe I should do it this way, maybe I should do it that way. This philosophy, that philosophy. I can go otherwise right to the Shastra. The Shastra's telling me, this is how you be a good actor, and this is how you be a good dancer. This is how you be a good maintainer of wealth. This is how you be a good protector of the animals. All the instructions are there. And I go to the Shastra because I know my master is Krishna. He is the one I am trying to please. And he is the one who is maintaining me and protecting me. I am not being maintained and protected by my government, by my employer, by my parents, by my school, by my husband, by my grown-up children, by my own intelligence. I'm working for Krishna. He's my employer. And he is maintaining me. And he is protecting me. And then what do you have? Shanti. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalok maheshram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvimam shanti vichichi. Krishna's taking care of me. Suridam, my best friend, is taking care of me. And not only is he my best friend, ordinary best friend taking care of you, you know, that's nice. But when God is your best friend, then he's taking care of you. What is the problem? Such a nice quote. This is from Bhagavatam 3:21-28. If we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. So if I depend on Krishna as my maintainer, as my protector, and I know that he's my employer, then I know exactly what to do. I have clear vision, and I'm peaceful, because I know he's always going to take care of me. Of course, you may say, well, Krishna's taking care of everyone, and some people, they're injured or they're poor. But Krishna's care is always perfect. Sometimes the loving mother and father, they don't give their child a cookie. They say you have to first eat your doll and your subji. Or they take away their toy. Don't hit your brother with your toy. They take it away. So that is also loving. So all of Krishna's care is loving. One then has that peace. There's no anxiety. With a material identity, it's constant anxiety. Is my wife going to love me today? Maybe she'll leave me, run off with another man. Maybe she'll be mean to me when I come home from work. Right? Or will the temple president let me stay here? Maybe they won't like something I'll do and they'll ask me to leave. And then I'll have no shelter. I'll have to live in the street. One will always have some anxiety. Maybe the financial basis of the world governments will fail. And then what will happen? My government won't take care of me anymore. There won't be any food, and I'll starve, and so much anxiety. As soon as we have a false shelter based on a false identity. But if I know I'm Krishna's servant, and if I'm doing Krishna's business, why will he not take care of me? So this is a little shift in consciousness. It appears that Prithvi Maharaj, it says here, he's protecting, he's ruling. It appears that he's doing something just like an ordinary king. But he understands this is simply an opportunity for service. His satisfaction, his fulfillment of needs, everything is in this mood of a servant. He doesn't think, I have to know everything, I have to do everything. Like the demoniac, they're thinking, Ishwaraham, aham bogi, siddham, I am perfect, I am the doer, kartaham iti manyate, I'm the doer, I'm the knower, I'm going to arrange everything perfectly and expert. No. The devotee is just thinking, I need to be connected. I need to be connected in service. And how does one be connected in service? Prabhupada says in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, love is required. So I know Krishna loves me, Suhridam, he's in my heart as a very dear friend, and out of gratitude, out of affection, out of love, I naturally want to serve him. And I am connected with him. Then Jnana Dipena Bhashvita, he gives me the intelligence how to do his service properly. Then everything is perfect, then I'm free. Then I'm free. Because as long as I'm serving Krishna, I'm happy. It doesn't matter what service Krishna gives me to do, whether I am cleaning the loo or whether I am ruling the world. Because I'm not getting my satisfaction from my position. I'm not getting my satisfaction from my designation. Oh, I'm a very righteous Indian man. That's not the source of my satisfaction. The source of my satisfaction is my sweet relationship with the Lord in loving service. And that I can have in any condition. In any condition. Ahoitukiya Pritiyata, it's not constrained by anything. The health of my body, the riches in my bank account, the number of friends I have, the abilities I have. Nothing doesn't matter. Whatever material situation I'm in, it's not the source of my happiness anyway. King Prithu's not getting happiness from all these people praising him and having all this power. That's not the source of his happiness. He's not thinking, if I rule the world, they'll give me a big pension and I'll be able to live nicely in my old age. That's not the source of his security. The source of his happiness and security and his fulfillment is that Krishna's happy. Prabhupada says the residents of Vrindavan, they just want to see that Krishna's smiling. But you may say, but Maharaj Prithu, he is trying to serve the interests of the citizens, it says here. To look after the interests of this planet, he's trying to make all the people happy to the extent he wants everybody employed in something that harmonizes with their nature. Sometimes people think surrender to Krishna means do something you don't like and you're not good at. I don't know where this is in the Shastra, but sometimes people have this idea. Surrender means I have to do something for Krishna that I don't like. Actually, surrender according to Shastra means whatever I like the most, whatever I am best at, I do that for Krishna. Instead of thinking I'm an artist, I think I'm Krishna's servant and he's giving me the opportunity to serve him through my art. A change of identity. Krishna explains this third chapter and 18th chapter. Good teachers, if something's important, they repeat it. And if something's important, they have it in their summary. So Krishna repeats this point, almost identical verses in 3rd and 18th chapter, and has it in his summary. He says, Arjuna, you can't do somebody else's job. He said, your choice is you do your nature for me, and you'll be happy, and I'll guide you, and everything will be wonderful. You'll be free. Mukta Sangha Samachara. Or you do it for your false ego, not hearing me out of envy, and you'll be lost. That's your choice. You cannot do somebody else's nature. So Prithu Maharaj, he cares so much about the citizens. He wants to make sure everyone has employment, no one is idle, everyone has a fulfilling, satisfying life, even materially, according to their nature that they've acquired due to their previous associations with the modes, Karana Guna Sangasya. And he even wants to make sure the animals are happy. The animals are happy, the people are happy. So you could say, Maharaj Prithu, he's not just caring about pleasing Krishna. He seems to care about pleasing everybody, the humans and the animals. Because sometimes also we think, if I'm just working for Krishna, if I'm just trying to please Krishna, then I don't care about anybody else. Leave my child on the street, be nasty to my wife, neglect my husband. I was hearing some devotees say this in Chennai. They said, the devotees are thinking, if you marry a devotee girl, when you come home, she will say, oh, I couldn't cook, I'm busy chanting. No time to clean the house, I have to go do my seva at the temple. But people have this misunderstanding, right? One of my friends, she got married, she told me, oh, my husband, he's a nice man, but he never talks to me. Oh, I have to go preaching. Well, people think like this sometimes. That if Krishna is my employer, my identity is a servant, I'm not trying to get the pleasure of any other jiva, like Kunti prays. Let my attachment be diverted to you like the Ganga to the ocean, without being directed to anyone else. Even sever my tie of affection for my kinsman. And Prabhupada explains in Nectar Devotion, prema means Krishna is the only kinsman. Janaka janani daita tanai prabhu guru patitu sarvamoy. You are everything to me. So people think that means that I neglect everybody else. No. Actually, the devotee takes better care. What's the example that Rupa Goswami gives that Prabhupada quotes? That if a woman or man has some other lover besides their spouse, then they do their job even more nicely so their spouse will not suspect. So that is our situation. That is our situation. We foolishly fell in love with Maya. And now we are finding our true beloved, Krishna. So we are always thinking of Krishna, manmana bhagavan makto, always thinking of Krishna with great attachment. Krishna is my real employer. But we do our duties in this world even better. Because I'm trying to make Krishna happy. So one will be a better mother, a better wife, a better employee, a better employer, a better king even. But to speak of, the king is the epitome of a materialist. Prabhupada says in Gita, if you're purely in the mode of passion, you will take birth as a rich man or a king. So the king epitomizes materialism. Even a king. He's a perfect king. Prabhupada says here, ideal. Maharaj Prithu was an ideal king. So one will be an ideal citizen, ideal king, ideal son, ideal daughter, ideal wife, ideal student, whatever. Ideal banker, ideal cloth weaver. But one knows, my employer is Krishna. So how can we see what is our position? Because we may think, well, yes, I'm a devotee, I'm working for Krishna. I know all this. I'm Krishna's servant, no problem. Everything I'm doing for Krishna. But we can examine, at least periodically, what is my idealized self? Do I think of my idealized self as Krishna's servant, Guru's servant? Or do I think of my idealized self in terms of nationality, age, gender, and upadis? And where is my emotional attachment? If the people that I am apparently serving in this world become angry with me, or don't like me, do I feel devastated? Do I feel unhappy? Do I feel angry? Do I try to hurt them? Where is my attachment? Where is my fear? Where is my anxiety? Am I in anxiety? Is Krishna smiling at me? Or am I in anxiety? Oh, this person, they might not like me, and then I have no shelter. That's how I can tell where my real shelter is. We can tell this by what we get angry about. what we get sad about, what we're afraid about. If people do not treat me nicely, do I become sad? Do I become angry? Do I become fearful? Or do I say, it's Krishna who's taking care of me? Nobody else. Only Krishna. I am his employee and he is my employer. I am his loving servant and he is my loving master. And he will take care of all my needs all the time. And what am I carrying? Vidu's carrying his scepter. What am I carrying? Am I carrying it for Krishna? Whatever I am protecting, whether we are protecting knowledge, whether we are protecting people, whether we are protecting wealth and natural resources, whether we are protecting arts and skills, whatever we are protecting, am I doing it to please Krishna? Or am I doing it because I think I am a this, I am a that, and this will make me happy? So this we can examine. Where is my real shelter? When I want to be happy, where do I go? When I am sad, where do I go? Where do I take shelter? When things don't go right, when my clothing gets ruined by the dhobi, when my equipment breaks, when somebody insults me, where do I go? What do I do? Do I think, oh, I have to fix this situation and fix this person and criticize this person because they are my shelter? Or do I say, Krishna, I know that you are taking care of all my needs. You are my maintainer. You are my protector. Whatever I am doing is as your servant only. Then one happiness is not dependent on one's external situation, as Krishna so nicely explains in the 6th chapter. He says, when one is relishing and rejoicing in the self, that this indeed is freedom from all miseries caused by material contact. Sometimes we think humility means to hate oneself, but Krishna says to relish and rejoice in the self. And what is the self? I am a very small, insignificant, but very loved servant of Krishna. On my own, I have no value. Like a little screw in a machine. On its own, what is it worth? 10 rupees. Nothing. But in the machine, it's maybe worth many lakhs. So who am I? On my own, covered by upadis, thinking my shelter is in this world. In that case, my friends, I'm worth nothing. I cannot do anything important. What is important in this world? Do you know the names of your great-great-grandparents? Anyone here know the names of their great-great-grandparents? So our great-great-grandchildren, they will not know our names even. Our own family. What is our importance? If I do some big important thing, then in some newspaper, you know, BBC, New York Times, they'll put 2 paragraphs. Maybe the devotees will use my passing as an excuse to have a little feast. And then at the end of the feast, oh, Prabhu, are you going to Lloyd Bazaar today? Oh, no, I'm going here. What is, materially speaking, what is our importance? What can we do? We live for a flash, 1/8 billionth of a second, according to Lord Brahma. So tiny. The whole universe is like one mustard seed on the hood of Anantaseisha. You can't even find it. And in this universe, so many planets. This one planet's like we see in the stars, a speck of light, a dust. And on this planet, the country where we live is the city where we live, a speck of dust. And in that city, the house where I live is a speck of dust. And in that house, I am just nothing. So when I have this mood that I am the center, I am important, I am a this, I am a that, my vision is clouded, I'm full of anxiety, I can't have proper relationships with anyone, I don't feel fulfilled, and if I look honestly at my life, I see that I am nothing. And nothing I do has any value or any meaning. But when I see that I am a servant of Krishna eternally, that Krishna loves me so much, Iswara Sarvabhutana Hridesha Dinajistati Ramayana Sarvabhutana Yantra Rudani Maya, no matter what yantra I am on, he stays with me. He is sending Guru, he's coming himself. He's coming himself, he's leaving the Bhagavatam for me. And I have a perfect place in his plan. Even in this life, even in this spot life, insignificant, 1/8 billionth of a second life, I can have value if I'm connected. And then everything I do is fulfilling and satisfying. So very slight change. Very slight change. Instead of I am the center, everything is for me, I have material shelters, Krishna is the center, everything is for him, and he's my shelter. And that one little change, just like on a path, little change, all the way over here. Tiny, tiny little change, and the whole life becomes transformed. So when we read these stories about Maharaj Prithu, we should not think, oh, this has nothing to do with me. I am not a Vedic king or queen. Probably none of us will become Vedic kings or queens. Maybe, as Mahaprabhu's movement takes over the world. Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram, and that must be established by the government. So maybe we will have a Vaishnava government. Maybe one of you here will be the next Vaishnava king. I don't know. But this for all of us, for all of us. It should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. So we should understand, take the time to reflect, to understand what opportunity has been given to me by the Supreme Lord that I can carry as his servant. So we have just a few minutes if anyone has any questions or comments, additions, subtractions, corrections, chastisements. Sometimes I get chastised. Anybody? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you. How we can permanently think of our best friend?
How can we permanently think of our best friend?
Yes.
Maya Shaktam Anaparta. Prabhupada gave a wonderful, wonderful class in Sanand, India on this verse, 7-1. He said, we all know how to be attached. What do we think about? We think about our attachments. We think about our shelters. Pay attention to where the mind goes. It goes to where you think you have a shelter. It goes to where you think, this is what will meet my needs. So instead we have to become attached to Krishna. Then we will naturally always think of him. So that begs the question, how do I become attached to Krishna? So I become attached to Krishna several ways. First of all, by hearing about him. Because Krishna is very attachable. He's very attractive. I mean, I can become attached to this glasses case by meditating upon it. I actually can. Krishna says by contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached. So this glasses case, I tell you honestly, it has many good qualities. It's hard, so if it falls, my glasses don't get broken. And it's very small, it fits in a small pocket. And I actually have some attachment to this. I can only buy it at one shop in America. So if I can become attached to something like this, because it has one or two very small good qualities, by meditating upon it, how attached can I become to Krishna by meditating upon it? So we read Krishna's qualities in the Nectar of Devotion. Krishna's form, we read about Krishna, we meditate how beautiful. People are coming here. We were just in Tirupati. So people are traveling 20, 30 hours for one two-second look at Krishna's form. So beautiful. So as we contemplate, not hearing just officially, but one should hear with some meditation, with some contemplation. Think about whatever I contemplate, I will become attached to. Whatever you contemplate, it doesn't matter what it is. There's people out there getting PhDs in the one red-legged crab that lives in the Okeechobee River. You know, they're attached to that. So you contemplate Krishna. Whenever we're hearing about Krishna, really meditate on Krishna. And then how else does Krishna say? He says, I am the light of the sun. How wonderful is the sun? He says, I am the heat and fire. So I think of the light. Wonderful, with the light I can see so many colors. And although the sun is millions of miles away, just a little bit of it coming here, I can see so many beautiful things. I can see what I need to do. And light. Light is a symptom of love. We talk about the light in your eyes. It's a symptom of festivity. So many holidays have something to do with light. Isn't it? That doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Christian, Muslim. They do lights. If you want to invite a friend to your house, you turn on the light. The aarti ceremony, you have a light. And Krishna is the supreme light. Krishna is the heat and fire, the warmth we are now feeling, that at least I'm feeling, the sun is right on me. So the warmth you're feeling from the sun, that is Krishna. We talk about love in terms of warmth also. We say, oh, that's a cold person, not a loving person. Warmth is something that's alive, it's warm. So just meditating on the heat and the light of fire, I can understand how Krishna must be the supreme, loving, festive, happy life, living being. And all around me, Krishna says, I am the air of life, I am the prana. Whenever you breathe, that's Krishna. Are you attached to your breath? Everyone is attached to their breath, isn't it? But that's Krishna. I'm the fire of digestion. We're all attached to our digestion. Right? Are we attached to our digestion? We don't care if you digest or not. But that's Krishna. So who are we actually attached to? This was very nicely explained by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit in the story of Krishna becoming all the cowherd boys and the calves. And Maharaj Parikshit said, how did these parents become more attached to Krishna than to their own child? And Sukadeva Goswami says, whatever we are attached to, the active principle is actually Krishna. Even I'm attached to myself, but Krishna is the Param Atma. He is the self of the self. Even my attachment to myself is ultimately an attachment to Krishna. So I must become, as Prabhupada says in Isha Upanishad, a philosopher. I must become like Parikshit, an examiner. Not just go through life unconsciously. Oh yeah, there's the sun. Hi, sun. There's my breathing. Yes, yes. That's Krishna. So everywhere in our lives there's Krishna. My ability, that is Krishna. My intelligence, that is Krishna. What to speak of Krishna holding his flute? So by a little thought, not much, it doesn't take much thought. Every place, like Prabhupada says here, I'll read this again. If we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. That's 321.28. So whatever I'm doing, and you just practice. So start practicing. So maybe today you'll only do it for 1 minute. Maybe 1 minute today you'll remember. Rasoham Apsukante. Oh, this taste of water, that's Krishna. How wonderful Krishna is. And the rest of the day you'll forget. Then maybe tomorrow you'll remember two times. You do something clever and then you remember, oh, Krishna's my ability. How wonderful Krishna is. Oh, Krishna's the water. How wonderful Krishna is. Oh, I heard about how Krishna was counting the cows on his japa beads made of jewels. How wonderful Krishna is. And then maybe the next day you'll think of Krishna for 3 minutes. So you celebrate that. So at night when you go to bed, you can think, how many minutes today did I remember Krishna? You can keep track. And increase, increase, increase. How many mantras today was I hearing? And after a while, as you practice that, because Krishna is Krishna, he is very attractive. If I can become attracted to a glasses case, how much can I be attracted to Krishna? And then when I become attracted to Krishna, naturally I will love him. He's lovable. And people can love a little puppy dog. How much more lovable is Krishna? And when I love Krishna, then I will naturally think about him all the time. That is natural. Just like those of us who are parents, when our babies were born, we thought about them all the time, isn't it? Those of you who are mothers and fathers. 24 hours, you're thinking about your baby. Or if you fall in love, if any of you have fallen in love, boy, girl, so you know when you're in love, you're thinking about the other person 24 hours. Arjuna, when he fell in love with Subhadra, he was thinking about her constantly. You can't help it. You can't not think about them. The young girl, she's going to get married in 2 days. If you say, stop thinking about your husband and your wedding, it's not possible. She can't stop. She's eating, she's sleeping. Even Kamsa couldn't stop thinking about Krishna, because that was where his fear is. So that Abhyas Yoga one has to cultivate. And we can also think like here, whatever we're doing, this is an opportunity Krishna's given me. Let me offer it to him. 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 And then the day will come. The day will come when we cannot think about material attachments anymore. Automatically. That even if someone's talking about some material thing, we'll immediately go to Krishna. That day will come. But there has to be an intentional cultivation of this originally natural attachment. So I think we've gone past our time. Thank you very much for this opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.